Welcome in to Chi-Town Sports Wrap-Up. We're back after a little break. Me, Jack Heinrich, and my brother Trey. Trey, how's it going?
Doing pretty well. How about you?
Doing great. Ready, slow sports week. I'm ready for Thursday and the Bulls to get back into it. I know you are.
Yeah, there's not much to watch.
Yeah,
just college hoops.
Yeah, and this is something I was talking about with some friends, is the college hoops slate yesterday wasn't even like, they didn't even have any marquee matchups when there's the face of like sports. They just had a bunch of just, you know, random matchups.
They did. They had a few overtime games though, which was nice to see.
That is good. The Oklahoma State and Baylor game was a tight game. Indiana and Ohio State went to overtime.
So did Syracuse as well.
Yeah, there you go. So I guess maybe not the marquee matchups, but they had some good games. But March Madness is coming up. Definitely excited for that. But, I mean, we got the big game, the basketball versus Northwestern tonight. Those two teams will not be in March Madness. But, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing tonight because we like pain. But other than that, March Madness will be fun coming up here. But we're going to talk about the pros today. The Bulls had a really good all-star weekend. In my opinion, I think it was really good to see them sprinkled throughout
better
all-star
than a few
weekend.
Years ago.
Yeah, the turnaround from Chicago when they literally had just Zach in the three-point, and then Wendell Carter was in the Rising Stars game, but he's hurt and didn't play.
Yeah, they didn't have anything. It was just the like booing Garpacks the whole weekend on national TV.
Yeah, that was funny. I remember when that happened. But before the All-Star game, Zach LaVine was out with his knee. He had his knee looked at by the guy who performed his surgery, I believe, and some of the Bulls doctors and people from Clutch Sports that represents him. They went out to L.A. to check out his knee, make sure everything was good. He got some lubricant to put on his knee, got his knee drained. They said he's all good, and judging by that 360 dunk he had in the All-Star game, I think it looks like he's all set. But just to start, what was your opinion on him participating in the All-Star game? Because I know that split some fans and in the festivities.
I mean, I was fine with it because I saw Casey Johnson mention a few times it was more of a mental visit than a physical visit. And those last few games, DeMar was able to just take over anyways. And he's not dumb. Like, he's going to not force his first playoffs being injured.
Right.
So I'm fine with him doing whatever he wants because he earned it to be there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, some people were like, well, it looks bad when he sat out the last three, four games of the All-Star break because of his knee, but then he's jumping into the All-Star game. I mean, when you look at it through those lens, you're like, yeah, it kind of looks bad. But when you actually look through what you were saying is that he wanted to make sure he was set for the team. And I think Casey said that his whole thing is the team. He's a really team first guy. And that's what you can tell when you see Zach. And once they found out he was healthy, he was cleared to do basketball stuff, I think, on Tuesday, 48 hours later. So I think it was fine for him. I mean, not a good showing from the three-point, lost some money there, but that's all right. I mean, he looked rusty a little bit, but then he played, I think, 11-ish minutes in the All-Star game, which I was totally fine with him participating in both because it gets the rust off. It gets him out there, and he deserves it. I mean, he's been on so many bad teams. He's finally rounding in to the top 20 player that he is now. He worked his butt off. I mean, he's one of the hardest workers. You just see his videos from the off season, always putting in time and effort. So I was fine with him doing it. And I actually liked him playing like 11 minutes because it got him going for this game on Thursday coming out of the All-Star break against the Hawks.
He should be a lot more ready to go. And they were saying like before he was getting his knee checked, he was always having like these bruises or he was just really in pain. So it's good that he got that sorted out. And then you can look at the All-Star game and three-point contest kind of as like a higher stakes, like shoot around and scrimmage, and he'll be way more ready to go, especially with another three off days. Yeah.
Yeah. If you count today, another couple days here coming up on Thursday, they're back in action. I mean, that last game that he played was against Minnesota, I think. One of those games was like the Friday before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
He just looked really bad.
Because he dunked and then he was kind of grimacing.
Yeah, and he didn't have a good game. I think he scored like 14 points, and they say he didn't look like himself. So he made sure to get his knee checked. And once they got the go ahead, I was totally fine with him doing it because, I mean, he deserves it. And like you said, it was kind of like an elevated shoot around and scrimmage, getting him out there, knock some of the rust off, so then he's totally good to go. But before that stretch, we're talking about DeMar when Zach was out. I mean, DeMar DeRozan, first player in NBA history with 35 points on 50% shooting in seven straight games. He went 38 for 59%, 40 for 67, which is ridiculous. 38 for 50, 35 for 64, 36 for 68, 38 for 59, and 45 for 60. So it's just, we're starting to run out of things to say about DeMar right now. And that was from StatMuse on Twitter. I mean, he's passing Will Chamberlain on stuff, and that's
crazy.
I like the signing going into the season, but I didn't think he'd be this good.
I thought he would have been a solid, like, secondary scorer to Zach, like super secondary. Like, Zach was for sure the top, but now they're just hand in hand.
Yeah, because you, I mean, when you look at San Antonio, I mean, this is what people have been saying when he was down there the last couple of years, is he really turned his game more well rounded because he was the guy initiating the offense. He's kind of the point guard. So his scoring took a hit a little bit, and was only averaging around 19 to 21 points a game while in San Antonio. But he made his game more well-rounded with his assist numbers were up towards 7. I mean, he's still not a great defender like him and Zach aren't, but, I mean, you could see the willingness from Zach and DeMar to try to help with that. But, I mean, DeMar just shooting the mid-range, and it's refreshing to see that they're just letting him shoot that mid-range shot in this three-point day and age. We'll see how that works in the playoffs because they're one of the lowest three-point shooting teams. But getting Caruso, Lonzo back should help bolster those numbers.
Yeah, it should. I think the craziest part of the stretch I found is, I don't know if it was in a couple of the games, but one of them, I don't even know if he attempted a three and scored that many points.
Yeah, a couple of them, yeah.
Didn't score any threes, something like that, which that's just the lost art that you see now. And I didn't even like realize it until DeMar came of how much of a lost art it is, but it is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I thought Zach shot a decent amount of mid-ranges last year and the last couple of years, but you can see how that rubs off on Io and Zach. And like Io, that one game that DeMar rested in OKC, yeah, he was just shooting from the mid-range. And going into Io, he was also at All-Star Weekend. He was in the Rising Stars game on Team Peyton. He had 5 points, 2 assists, 1 steal. LaMelo Ball was the main focus of that team. I didn't get to watch the game because I was at the covering the Blackhawks game. But Trey, you watched it. And he jammed his thumb. Hopefully he's okay.
I think he's going to be all right.
But what were your impressions of seeing him out there?
It was just cool to see. He was similar to DeMar, I would say, mm-hmm, in the All-Star game, where he was kind of passive being a team player. And in those kind of games, it's like kind of screw the team and just get your own stats.
Yeah.
So he was kind of doing that. He was playing decent defense. They lost at the end. LaMelo was trying to take over. He was missing some shots, mm-hmm, but also he wasn't really getting much help. So,
yeah, it's just kind of how those games go. The people want to see the stars go, but it's good to see Io getting to play with a bunch of those guys. And some of the coverage I was seeing on Twitter from other people, that a lot of the rookies and second year players had a lot of good things to say about Io, and just like that experience going to that kind of event was just really big for him, I think, as a player.
Yeah, because he was saying in post games too that he was just going to go there and dissect brains, which is kind of what he's been doing with the Bulls with DeMar and Zach. So he was just finding more young players like him to help him out.
Yeah, and that's good. It's good for him to experience that. I think he stuck around for most of the All-Star weekend. And then Zach, like we said, only he finished last in the 3-point, but I mean, that was really his first time shooting in like a competition setting in over a week. So he's just knocking the rust off there. We know he's a really good shooter. Another interesting point, I think it was Reggie Miller said something that he's, or is Dwayne Wade, one of those two, said that Zach LaVine's like a jump shooter. Like when you watch him shoot in like game action, he jumps really high in his jump shots. And then when he was in the 3-point, he wasn't jumping as much because you had to do it a little quicker. So that could be a factor why. But I mean, Carl Anthony Towns taking the 3-point was something I did not see coming.
No.
It's a good weekend for him. But then we get to the game. DeMar started on Team LeBron. We talked about it with you. You thought Zach should have started. Yeah. I thought Zach should have started. Zach did play a lot in that fourth quarter, but DeMar had 4 of 8 shooting, 10 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds. Zach didn't start, but he played a lot in that fourth quarter stretch with the time target. He had 12 points on 5 of 7, 2 threes, 3 assists, and rebounds, respectively. But it was cool to see those two at the end. DeMar hit that turnaround, and then Zach came right down and hit a three. That's just what we've seen on the Bulls in the fourth quarter, the king of the fourth.
Yeah, it would have been kind of cool to see them guard each other down the stretch, but, I mean, we're kind of asking for too much. And then it was kind of tough to see LaVine, like, he was guarding LeBron on that last shot.
Yeah, Zach definitely got game there. But, I mean, LeBron, it was back in Cleveland, so you knew he was going to try to win it there, and he hit it. So
it was a tough shot.
It was a tough shot. So Team LeBron beat Team Durant 163-160. I mean, Steph Curry was really the main story there. I mean, his 3-point shooting is just unreal. I mean, That's like 2K. That's like me in 2K, man. That's how I shoot
it's
it.
It's like me in 2K.
No, not even a little bit. But 50 points on 16 of 27 from three, 17 of 30 overall. He won MVP. He took 30 shots. LeBron took 24 shots and Giannis took 21. So DeMar and Nikola Jokic did not have a lot of shots to go around. They each took 13 combined.
Yeah, they were passive. So, they're being team players, but it's just in the All-Star game. You just got to get yours.
Yeah. So sometimes that's just kind of how All-Star games shake out. That's why it's kind of hard to figure out who wins MVP and stuff. Cause you never know who's just going to start shooting it and get the hot hand. So yeah, DeMar was deferring a lot, but they still put on a show. And then when you look over at Team Durant, Joel Embiid had 36 and 10. That guy is just a monster. LaMelo Ball and Jontae Murray had a good games off the bench, 18 points for Ball and 17 for Murray, and then 20 off the bench for Booker. So yeah, a lot of guys just out there taking shots. I did not realize Chris Middleton shot 1 of 8 from the floor.
That's why a lot of people are saying he shouldn't have been in the game.
Yeah. So Chris Middleton, wow. Well, yeah, 1 of 8.
He's still a good player.
Yeah, solid just... player. Just had a tough game, the All-Star game. But it was just really fun to see another starter. I think it was the first starter since Butler for Bulls.
I think it was.
First time they've had multiple All-Stars in a while.
Even the last time it was kind of a cheap one because Butler was injury replaced for Pau Gasol, and that's how they got two last time.
Yeah, so... it's cool to see two guys actually playing. They got a little one-on-one matchup with each other. But I was just sitting there looking at Twitter, just like, it's really good for the Bulls brand to have a couple guys in the game.
Yeah.
Isles in the Rising, Zach did the three, and then you had two guys in the All-Star game.
And you can even say they have the PA guy, too, if you want to add that in.
Tim Sinclair got to do the PA. So Chicago's everywhere. And then Michael Jordan showed up to the 75
legend.
Did not
expect that.
He got the loudest ovation out of all those players, even LeBron. I didn't think he was going to be there. You said he's at that NASCAR race.
Yeah.
At the Daytona 500.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
For Denny Hamlin, the 11. So yeah, it was cool to see that Rodman there as well. So just a lot of Bulls history there. Sweet.
Yeah, it was. It was interesting to see Rodman show up with that Bulls hat.
That Bulls hat was sick. I wonder where he got that from.
I saw that on Twitter today that they're going to sell it somewhere.
Oh, so it's not released yet.
I don't think so, or something.
We have to spend some money on that, but yeah, just all around good weekend for basketball and Bulls basketball in particular. And now we're just kind of waiting around for the second half stretch run, which we can get into more in later episodes when we get in that. But I think they have the third hardest schedule remaining.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, so they still have to play Milwaukee three times, the Heat once. Do they have to play? They don't have to play Philly again, do they?
No, I do. That's one of the first games out of the break, I'm pretty sure.
So, yeah, they got to play Miami. Philly still, they got to play the Suns again. So they got a tough stretch coming up here. They still got to play Cleveland, I think, one more time. So
yeah. And they got a West Coast trip with Utah and Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tough stretch for the Bulls. We'll get more into that, as they get into that, but I want to switch gears and talk about DeMar DeRozan because that stretch he went on with Wilt, passing Wilt for the most points in a game on 50%, 35 points in, I think it was 7 straight games. So he's the first person to do that. And we were kind of just, Chicago's kind of been saying MVP for DeMar since December, really.
Yeah.
Because that's when he had a good start to the year and they were all like MVP, MVP. And I feel like the national media is still kind of downplaying him. And when you looked at, I think the ESPN did a power rankings, and he was like fifth or sixth on it. And everyone was just like going crazy. And it's hard because there's a lot of players playing good this year, like Jokic and Joel Embiid.
And they're bigger names too.
Yeah, John Morant. And there are a lot of younger guys too. Chris Paul's in there as well. But I feel like the national media is kind of slowly starting to turn as DeMar as like a bigger favorite. And then on First Take this last Friday, Stephen A. Smith spent about 2 minutes talking about why he thinks DeMar DeRozan needs to be in the MVP conversation, not just in it, but a front runner for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMar DeRozan of the Chicago Bulls is a leading candidate for league MVP honors. Mm-hmm. If he talked more, if he was a bit more loquacious, fun-loving, and all of this other stuff that people want to throw into the mix, we'd be talking about him more.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say about this brother's game. This brother's averaging 28 points a game. Mm-hmm. 51% shooting, okay? 34% from three-point range, which, by the way, is an improvement because the last 3 years he has shot 25% or less from three-point range. He's up to nearly 35% from three-point range. By the way, without Zach LaVine, he stepped up his game even more. The Chicago Bulls are a top seed in the Eastern Conference at 38-21, one of the best teams in the NBA. And this brother is doing what he's doing in a Chicago Bulls uniform in the house that MJ built. I got Joel Embiid, MVP. Jokic can't ignore what he's doing in Denver without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. Okay, CP3, if he were to win MVP, would be one of the greatest stories in NBA history because at 36 years of age, he has elevated to being the best point guard in basketball. There's not a better point guard in a better pure floor general in professional basketball in this world right now than CP3. But DeMar DeRozan, we've appreciated all of those guys. When the hell have we mentioned DeMar DeRozan on this show? Mm-hmm. We ain't mentioned no DeMar DeRozan. I mean, Perk and them, because NBA Today covers everything because they those dudes and those lovely ladies, they do what they do. But DeMar DeRozan, he barely gets mentioned anywhere else. He is a league MVP candidate, easily top two. Michael Wilbon brought that up the other day on NBA Countdown. He has been nothing short of sensational this year. And I believe right now, if we're not talking about him as a likely candidate for league MVP honors, it is disrespectful to him. And that's why the word underappreciated comes into play when we're talking about an all-star of his caliber.
So that was Stephen A. Smith on First Take. Credit to ESPN's First Take on Friday. And yeah, I mean, he's right. I mean, a lot of people kind of just throw his name in there, but they don't really talk about how good he's actually been. I mean, Embiid, I think, is probably going to win it. He's just been so good. But I think DeMar deserves to be higher.
Yeah, he should be up there. I almost wonder if this whole narrative that he shouldn't be MVP comes from how everyone says he just disappears in the playoffs. And I wonder if that just hurts his reputation, even though that shouldn't be a factor this year. But
yeah, it's just based on this year's stats. But I'm pulling up DraftKings right now, and Embiid's the favorite at plus 130. DeRozan has the sixth best odds at plus 220 or 2200. Devin Booker is actually in front of him now at plus 1800. Morant at 1,100, Steph Curry at 850, Giannis at 400, and Jokic at 290. I think he should be higher. Like every time you think about MVP, you're just like, he should be higher. And then you look at everybody, and you're like, those are some good guys, too.
I think he should be top four.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And we'll see what else he has in store to do down the stretch. I mean, if he could get the Bulls to a one seed.
Yeah. Especially with the schedule.
Yeah, I was just going to say, with the schedule coming down the stretch. I mean, right now the big knock on the Bulls and them as a team are kind of getting knocked just because they've had all these injuries. And then you look at their record against the top four teams in the NBA. Yeah. They're 1-11. That one win coming against the Cavs. But I hate saying this, but like a lot of those games, they were shorthanded. It's not really an excuse. That's what Billy Donovan said. But at some point, that one game against the Heat, it was like me and you and Zach LaVine out there and Lonzo. So we'll see. I mean, they got to start winning those games.
Yeah.
And it's going to start after the All-Star break, like you said, when they're playing Philly.
Yeah.
Pretty quick out the gate.
Yeah, because this is their schedule. They got the Hawks and Grizzlies at home. Then they're at
Grizzlies
Miami.
Grizzlies are another team, yeah.
Yeah, they're at Miami, then at the Hawks. Then they have the Bucks and Sixers.
Okay.
And then it lightens up.
Yeah, that's a brutal schedule coming out of the All-Star break. So they got to prove it now. They're right up there at the top, and if DeMar can get the Bulls to a top seed in the East, I think he's got to be really close to that MVP conversation because he'd be over Joel Embiid. But I mean, Joel Embiid's just our father, man.
Like, I don't.
The Bulls can't stop him at all.
That's a terrible matchup for us in the playoffs.
It's a terrible matchup for a lot of people. But yeah, the Bulls have never beaten Joel Embiid. I think he's 10-0.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter who they throw out there at him. He's getting whatever he wants.
See, that's why we got to try to get a top seed so we can avoid the whole gauntlet of the East to get an easier matchup.
But then you got to look at Brooklyn because I think Kevin Durant's pretty close to returning. But
I saw Simmons is coming soon, too.
They're the A seed right now. So, The Bulls get the one seed and they're the eight. Like that, I mean, they could get upset. I don't even know if that'd be an upset, but
they would have to go on. They might go on a run though, the Nets, because they're going to have Simmons, Durant, and then Dragic, and I don't know who else is out for them.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie on the road games. We'll see if the vaccine mandate changes New York and he can play home games. But, yeah, I expect them to make a run. But, I mean, the East is good. It's really good.
So it's back.
Yeah, it is back. I mean, it's better than the West, which is something we haven't said in a long, long time. But the Bulls did make a move on the buyout market. And we can touch on the trade deadline a little bit here to wrap it up. They did get Tristan Thompson off the buyout market. He was involved in that big trade that sent Tyrese Haliburton and Buddy Hield along with Thompson to Indiana for Domantas Sabonis and Justin Holiday over to Sacramento. And that was one of the bigger trades before the Harden trade happened. But we get the Bulls get Thompson off the trade or off the buyout market. And I think that's probably one of the better players they could have gotten. I know a lot of people were upset that the Bulls didn't do much at the All-Star break or at the trade deadline, excuse me, but what were they going to do? I mean, like, who did you want them to go get? That was kind of my thing. They're like, this could cost them like everybody else in the East did, whatever, but it's like, who are they going to get?
Well, it's that, and it's what assets you want to get rid of, because everyone's like, don't trade Patrick Williams, don't trade Kobe White, don't trade Io. You only have picks.
Then who do you want?
You only have a few picks left.
And they've traded a lot of picks. And this front office, I heard KC yesterday talking on the radio, and he was like, this front office has been anything but like reserved since they came in. Like they went out, got Billy Donovan. They went out and got Vucevic. They went out and got DeMar. They went out and got Lonzo. Like, they're not scared of trading picks to get people. And if there's a trade worth doing, the only person I would have wanted them to get was Jeremy Grant. Like when the rumors first started, I was like, let's get Jeremy Grant. But then we started digging into it more and he wants to be the top option on his team. And he would be like maybe the fourth or fifth option on this team.
Yeah, he would be.
If he was willing to just be like, yeah, I'm ready to come in, he would have been perfect. And I would been open to trading Patrick Williams for that. But if he's not, and that's not a good fit, and that's clearly what AK and Mark Eversley saw, then don't do it. And they didn't do it. And then who else would you want to get? The guy I wanted him to get was Robert Covington.
Yeah,
and so he got traded early. The other guy was Torrey Craig. He went to Phoenix. So they ran out of the guys, and I think Thompson's a good thing off the buyout market.
Yeah, he is. He's a solid backup center. It's what they wanted. And exactly. It's like it would have cost them a second-round pick in any other case. Yes. It's like, let's just keep the pick.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, they let go of Alphonso McKinney, who was really good on a 10-day. And then once he got the NBA contract, he struggled. And this is an area of need because Tony Bradley hasn't been able to get the job done this year. Yeah. And they've been playing a lot of small-ball centers with Tyler Cook, who's been good, but he's battled injury. And he's a two-way guy. He's undersized. He's like 6'7", 6'8". I mean, Derek Jones Jr. is playing a small five. He's like 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". So the small ball lineup works in a little bit. But when you get in the playoffs, you got Giannis. You got Joel. Durant's another big guy. I mean, the centers wouldn't be guarding Durant, but it's still another big body, you know. So Thompson, 6'9", he has by far the most playoff experience on this roster.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do a lot. He's been efficient when he's played. I mean, the last game he played with Indiana, he scored 17 points and 8 rebounds. Then Rick Carlisle said he's leaving and going to Chicago, which was a first.
That was weird.
That was really weird. He's just like, yeah, he's going up to a team that starts with a C and ends with an O. And then, I don't know, it was funny. I don't know how that wasn't tampering when we had the Lonzo stuff.
I don't either.
But
I saw some people on Twitter are mad because apparently the Bulls used their biannual exception, which I don't completely understand what that is. I think they were able to offer $1 million instead of like $600K.
To Thompson?
Yeah, and well, that's like why he came.
Get it to get it done.
Well, they're saying it like handicaps him a little bit more in the summer, but it's kind of like, I don't think it would have been that much of a big deal, but...
Yeah, I mean, the only thing they're going to do this summer has got to be re-sign Zach to the max. So, and then you'll see what they do in the draft.
Yeah, it's the draft, Zach, and then see what you do with, like, Troy Brown, Derek Jones, and those kind of guys.
Yeah, Troy Brown's disappointed me. I was a big Troy Brown guy coming into this year. Hasn't really been it, up and down, kind of, but still a young guy, so we can see what happens. But the Thompson signing definitely bolsters a need, a rebounding need, because I saw some stat, I think it was on Twitter, that the Bulls, when Vucevic is on the floor, they get like 75% or more of the rebounds, something like that, 75 to 78% of the rebounds. And when he's off the floor, it's just like you're losing that.
Yeah.
And they struggle with the rebounding when he's off the floor. So, I mean, Vuce has gotten a lot of caught a lot of hate kind of because he struggled this year. But, I mean, since like the middle of March, he's averaging like 25 and 12.
Yeah.
With guys going in and out of the lineup like Zach, and then DeMar's had to have some rest, and then they've lost Lonzo and Caruso. So he's starting to come back into that form. His three-point shot's still struggling a little bit, but he's starting to make those easy buckets.
Yeah, he is. And I think it's going to help a lot with the rebounding with Thompson, and then also Patrick Williams is basically like a trade addition too, which will help a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's that video Lonzo just posted on Instagram of him rehabbing with his daughter.
Yeah, he looks
cool,
good.
Which was a cool video to see him in off-the-court setting. But yeah, he looked pretty good moving, so hopefully he can come back soon. Caruso's, I think, in this next couple of days.
Yeah, he's getting close.
So the Bulls are about to get healthy, and it's going to be fun down the stretch to watch these guys.
You just got to try to get them back, hopefully mid-March, have a few weeks under their belt, and then it's go time.
Right, and then Patrick Williams, that'd be awesome for him to come back for the playoffs because they desperately need his defense. I mean, that starting lineup of Ball, LaVine, DeRozan, Williams, and Vooch has only played, what, like a little, like 4.5 games?
Yeah, it was something like that. And it's going to, you don't even have to put too much pressure on it. It's just like, go out there, play defense. Don't worry about scoring. We have enough scoring and just no pressure.
Exactly. Exactly. He just, yeah, that's literally as well said. He just got to go out there and play defense and lock people up. But we're looking forward to the Bulls down the stretch here, and it should be fun. Chicago's a lot of fun when our sports teams are good. We got one sports team good right now. And yeah, with the way baseball's going, they're meeting in Florida this week face-to-face because the deadline's coming up to start the season on time. So hopefully we can get the Cubs and Sox back for this summer. And, yeah, we need baseball.
We do.
We need baseball. We want it. So we'll hopefully next time we record, we're trying to do twice a month, we'll have a deal in place for baseball.
Hopefully. I think they will. I'm going to say they'll meet the deadline by Monday.
I hope so. I'm feeling pretty confident, too. They met for like 4 hours yesterday. They're in meetings right now. I think they'll get it done because I think both sides do realize that they had like the bad negotiation during COVID, and it was very public because nothing was going on. And then last year was kind of a weird year, you know, like not everybody was in, had full stadiums till the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then this year it's like full go, like everything's full go in Arizona's now, and Florida is going to start suffering because of it. So I think they'll get it going.
And it's a big thing though, because I heard Trevor Plouffe on Talking Baseball. He was at the Super Bowl and he was asking around like, what do people think of baseball? And most of the casual fans are like, oh, they have a lockout right now. So it's important they have to do it right now because people didn't even realize they were in a lockout. And now they're at the forefront because the football's over.
Yeah. So now it's getting more publicity. So hopefully they can figure that out. Both sides just get it done because baseball's losing steam a little bit in the national landscape. And it would be really bad if they were losing some games. But that's all we got, Trey. Thanks for hopping on.
Yep.
Always good. Hopefully we keep seeing red here in Chicago. Should be fun with Tristan Thompson. Excited to dive into this tough stretch the Bulls have coming up. But, yeah, we're going to try to do this twice a month, and we'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace.
See you later.
Fade to black moment.
Enough already.
It's over. Drive home safely.